It is time for a look at another one of the recommendations from the jury into ending intimate partner violence in Ontario. We are at number 81, and joining us, as she does every week, to talk to us about it, Interval House Executive Director Aaron Lee. Aaron, welcome back.
Always great to be here, Bob.
This is another one that is directed to the Government of Canada as we wind down, believe it or not. Number 81 says, undertake an analysis of the application of Section 264 of the Criminal Code, which deals with harassment and no contact, with a view to evaluating whether the existing factors adequately capture the impact on survivors. Consider the removal of the subjective requirement that the action causes the victim to fear for their safety. Lots to unpack in that little sentence, Aaron, but I think you probably want to start with that key word, safety.
Yes, I think that recommendation number 81 really speaks to the fact that more and more what we're seeing is a common charge of harassment. And I think when we look at common charges of harassment, we need to look at the conditions under which we lay that charge, we being the police. And secondly, I think we need to think about the conditions of any harassment charge. And if the conditions do not mitigate the safety requirements of the victim and the victim's family or the victim's contacts, then the harassment charge doesn't actually support safety. And in all aspects of conditions, we want to make sure that distance, no contact orders, which is very, very common in a harassment charge, but we also want to make sure that any contact directly or indirectly, through text messages, through Facebook Messenger, through other people, are also something that are captured in the conditions. And I think that it is important, to recognize the fear factor for victims who are speaking about feeling unsafe as a result of the harassment. And I think what people underestimate is people underestimate what the long cues and actions of abusers have been that control and harass women. And you and I from the naked eye might say, oh, that little behavior is not really something to be concerned about. But that victim could tell you that for 4 years prior to a physical assault, prior to a sexual assault, that was the behavior that escalated and that caused that trigger for her to know it's coming. And so I don't think we can underestimate the value of keeping victims center in the center of any conditions related to a harassment charge and any consideration of harassment.
So two things I want you to comment on. One, what you just said, it sounds like it's sort of like this type of behavior might just be the tip of the iceberg. And this might be, if it's seen in public or if it's witnessed by someone else, it might be that offender really trying to hold back because they're in public. But this is what we see behind closed doors much worse. So I'll get you to comment on that, and then I'll ask you about my second point.
I think absolutely that's what it is. The example that I can think of that comes to mind is a woman who's in the courthouse. She's in the courthouse, she's with an advocate, the judge is there, and the abuser is tapping on the table and tapping on the table, and the tapping is consistent and the tapping is getting harder. That tapping signifies a message to her. Nobody else in the courtroom gets it, right? They think, oh, that person is nervous. The person is trying to distract themselves, keep themselves grounded, when in fact, the woman is beginning to physically shake. And you're saying to the woman, what's going on? And when there's a break and you have a conversation, she talks about that tapping and how that tapping was always a sign you're going to get it. But we don't know that because what we see is tapping on a table that seems like nothing. But in fact, it is a trigger. It is a message that you're going to get it.
Now, the other part that I wanted to just sort of bring up and get your comments on, and of course, this one is addressed to the federal government. We've dealt with this same type of recommendation to the province. And once again, it speaks to making sure that the proper resources are in place for the victim upon release of the offender so that they cannot really risk that safety of the victim again.
We need to make sure that all orders are enforceable by police. We need to give the power to the police to be able to react and actually enforce. We also need to make sure that we have to start to look at the system more equitably. And while I understand that justice needs to be applied equitably to the accused, I think we need to ensure that what we're trying to do is reduce the likelihood of further harm. And if we're trying to reduce the likelihood of further harm, we need to center the victim in that process.
Aaron, thank you very much for this. Again, it's an ongoing conversation. We invite people to take a look at lanarkleadstoday.ca under the tab where we have CKW inquest recommendations. You can go back and listen to any of them to get a good reference point. They've been great conversations. We'll do this again next week. Sound good?
Thank you. Sounds great.
All right. Aaron Lee, Executive Director with Lanark County Interval House. We've been talking about another recommendation from the inquest into ending intimate partner violence here in Ontario. I'm Bob Perreault for MyFM. Thank you so much for listening.